You were already welcomed, and from this place we would like to greet all. We received greetings already from Moldavia, from Kishinev, from Russia, from the Ukraine, then from Johannesburg, then from Lyon, and then from India, from the Punjab, then from Italy, from Brother Etienne, then again Italy, from Brother Pino Davi, then greetings from Finland, the brethren Holveti are greeting you, then again greetings from Italy, Brother Donati, then again greetings from Brother Maschi, from who else? They're just greetings from everywhere, from South Africa, from the USA, from everywhere. The brethren are sending us greetings. As the body of the Lord, we are really also among one another, we are joined together. We are joined with the head, with Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as Paul writes, the body has many members, and every member has a different task, and all who belong to the body of the Lord, they are rejoicing about it. If the members are serving one another, and that's how we emphasized it yesterday already, also all the ministries are just for the edifying of the church, they are given. Now, we also notice that the time is running very fast. In a couple of weeks, the year will be at the end. And God willing, at the beginning of November, now on the coming weekend, we have the meetings in Novi Sad, the second largest city after Belgrade. And we are expecting that people are coming from near and far. We have more than 100 addresses of those who are looked after in all the country. And Brother Müller and Brother Momcilo Petrovic, they made their missionary trips just recently, and they made some preparations. Just remember us in particular on the coming weekend, so that we also there can bring the message of the Lord, that God gives a breakthrough, that He opens eyes and hearts, and so that He can manifest Himself to the people of God. Afterward, it goes to the Far East. And as I announced already last time, most probably one of the farthest journeys up to New Guinea, north of Australia. There I was never before. And then I want to visit the countries around. And the last country is Port Moresby. May the Lord bless there also. Remember this trip in your prayers. Then we also found out that the last world empire, Europe, is coming up now. The last signature was made under the contract. And from the 1st of December, we have the perfect European Union. And then we have that, what is written in the prophet Daniel, chapter 2, and also chapter 7, the last world power will just trample underfoot all the other nations, and all have to submit. Uniting of religion, uniting in the economy, just a full uniting. And then it's being fulfilled, Revelation 17, that the religious power is riding on the worldly power, having the reins in her hands. We don't want to go into details here. We just want to say, it is so far now. Bible prophecy is taking shape. And the article of yesterday in the Krefelder newspaper, it says, the quote of the day, there's no company in this world with such a healthy kernel as the Catholic Church. Quote, in the Krefeld newspaper of yesterday. Yesterday, in our country, there was the Day of Reformation celebrated. Martin Luther nailed 95 theses on the Castle Church in Wittenberg. We have seen this Castle Church. We have seen the door, the gate. We have visited Wittenberg. And what was made out of it? The 350 Protestant denominations who since that time came up, all of them, they are looking to Rome now. And only the elect are recognizing the day and the message which was addressed to us by grace. And we are just so grateful that we recognized it and that we can place the things biblically by His grace. In our time, we have the word of prophecy and we have the evangelistic part, and we may say, in the sermons of Brother Branham, the kernel, the core of the preaching remained until the end. Jesus Christ, the crucified one, and the one who will return, our Redeemer. It was a full gospel with a full confirmation, vindication, that which God left to us in this time by grace and which He has put upon the lampstand. And we remember what was said to our beloved brother on the 11th of June 1933. And I appreciate it very much that I myself was an eyewitness in April 1966. I've seen eyewitnesses who were present in 1933, standing at the shore, at the banks of the Ohio River, who witnessed how the supernatural light came visible down for all who were present, for the press media, for photographers, for all who were present. It came down visibly, unbelieving or believing, doesn't matter. And then the voice spoke from this supernatural light to Brother Branham. And now comes the point, which of course touches me very much. The things what the Lord said, they put it out of force. And the main word, they left out. And today, we are not dealing only with what is happening in other churches and denominations, what is being interpreted there. Today, we are dealing with what is happening within the message, what is being interpreted there. I write about it. I will not go now into details, but it's just worth of thinking about it. If one hears of the lips of Brother Branham 16 times in various sermons, one hears what the Lord actually said, namely, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. And all our brothers in the USA, what they made, in all of them, the word message is missing. They just falsified it. They changed it, whether in Tucson, in the house of Brother Branham, engraved in the door of the house. The text says there, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent to forerun the second coming of Christ. Full stop. And with this, everything is finished for them forever. And with this, for them, to nobody was given the right to claim to carry the message into all the world. Because the word message is missing. It's missing in the nice book. Yes, it's missing even in the gravestone pyramid, which is on the cemetery in Jeffersonville, was erected there. Very expensive. But the text is also not right there. Also, there is only written, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent to forerun the second coming of Christ. There are pilgrimages made, and for all, the end is made with Brother Branham. With Brother Branham, everything came to its end. And now comes Brother Frank and says, that what was written there is a falsification. And I heard the 16 quotes of the mouth of Brother Branham. And I will publish them in the next circular letter so that all know 100% what the Lord said, what Brother Branham said, and what these gentlemen have falsified. And I already mentioned it. All the falsifications, all the fakes in the denominations and churches, all the misinterpretations, all the changings of the Holy Scripture, they are not bothering us today at all. But that, what is being done in the circles of those who were called out, we have the right for the pure truth. We have the right for the unfalsified message. God is true and every man a liar. If the brothers would have a little bit of fear of God in them, then they wouldn't have done this. But I don't want to go into details. It's their conviction that Brother Branham will return one day and then we'll have the final round. Today, I will not go into details, but I have today, before me, it says in this main passage, here are some quotes of the altogether 55 quotes which Brother Branham made about the third pull. And again a point, we will not go into details here, we will not spend much time. It's just a great pain for me if brothers all over in the world are coming on the scene and are saying, the prophet said, and they are not even differentiating what he said before the opening of the seals and what he said after the opening of the seals. And let me say this very clearly from the last quote of the 25th of July 1965, here from the mouth of Brother Branham. The first pull was healing, the second pull was the prophetic, and the third pull was the revelation of the word of all the mysteries. So, let us put it aside. This is finished. The same as God said to Moses, I will give you two signs. And he also gave it. Then, with the ministry of Moses, that part which was commissioned unto him was finished. There, nobody had to come anymore and say, he should come on the scene again to do some kind of ministry. The ministry was finished, and the same it is in our time. Also John the Baptist, he was only taken home after his ministry was at the end, was finished. Everything happens, of course, in the house of God, in the kingdom of God, in the church, after the will of God, according to the will of God, as it was left to us in the Word of God. To be honest, fiddlers have come into the message and have caused much, much damage. Our task is to proclaim the everlasting word. And this we will do as long as the breath of life is in us. Let us read a couple of scriptures. The first one from 2 Corinthians. From 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 17. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 17.
Nun, wir machen es nicht.
For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. So we're not only speaking, but because we were driven by God, in the presence of God, in the sight of God, in the sight of Jesus Christ. We are, of course, not only saying something, we are saying that what God said. And this we say in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the direct presence of God. That what we are saying here, we could say if the Lord would be standing here on the platform. It's God's holy word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says in verse 6, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So, the Word has to become Spirit and life. And Spirit and life, it becomes only if it is being revealed to the individual by the Holy Spirit. Then, in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, right from the beginning, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't lose heart, although all the things are touching us, and although all things are grieving us so much, yet we are not losing heart. Why not? We know the Lord Himself will finish His work of redemption with His church unto the glorious day of His return. And if I then remember that all these gentlemen went out from Egypt, all the Korahs and who they were, who later on came on the scene in the church later on, and Moses and Aaron, they made the life difficult for Moses and Aaron. All of them, they went through the Red Sea. All of them, they were present when God was with them in the pillar of cloud and fire, leading His people. All of them, they were witnesses of what happened at that time. And nevertheless, they were deceived. And they just said, Moses, you are taking too much for yourself. We are also here. Yes, we are also here. But please, on that place which God has given you, in the kingdom of God, there has to be the divine order by His grace. There's no other way. And if Paul writes in the New Testament about all these gentlemen who brought forth strange doctrines, Acts 20, from your own midst they will come forth. John writes, if they would have belonged to us, then they would have remained with us. Many went out, but the exodus alone is not enough. He who persevereth until the end, he will be crowned. Not the exodus is crowned, but the completion. When we are reaching the destination, then comes the crowning. And therefore, let us hold fast to the word of the Lord. We read on in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4. Here it says in verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. This is our and my stand today in the sight of God. It goes on in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid,
das von uns verkündigte Evangelium verhüllt ist, dann
it is hid to them that are lost. And this we cannot change. We have no influence on it. He who is ordained for salvation, to him it is being revealed. And whoever does not accept the word by faith, he will walk on his own way. And as written here, it is hid to them, and such people are lost. I just want to emphasize it here. Be thankful. Get thankful for the revelation which God has given us by His grace. Become grateful for that what God has entrusted to us. Namely, that we put Jesus Christ into the center and the proclamation of the everlasting gospel. Now, just one thing is left, what is happening with us. Namely, what is written in Acts chapter 2, from verse 32 to verse 41. And whoever reads this will notice that Peter probably he didn't have to raise his voice much, although thousands of people were there. There was no loudspeakers, no microphone at that time. But he really, from verse 32 on, in Acts 2, he set forth briefly the counsel of God with Jesus Christ our Lord. He set it forth. And behold, in a couple of minutes, it happened. What we are reading in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? I'm waiting for this moment where we don't have to say anymore, he who likes to consecrate his life to the Lord, that we don't have to beg anymore, but that the Spirit of God comes so mightily down, working so mightily in the meetings, that under the sermon, under the preaching, the wish comes up, what must I do to get saved? What must I do to be saved? And then came the answer from verse 38. It's written, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. No help was needed here. The preaching pricked their hearts. And the cry was there, what must we do to experience what you experienced? And behold, the answer was given. And there were 3,000 people who were saved on one day, in one sermon, getting believers, and they were baptized. Yes, we are waiting for the mighty moving of God. And as it was said here in the word of introduction, every meeting should be in a way as our brothers and sisters have gathered at the beginning in the upper room, in expectation that God sends down His Holy Spirit in expectation that the supernatural takes place in the church, namely in the service in which we are just now. Then we have the special thought with the spiritual food which has to be given out. And to me it becomes greater and greater. The spiritual food is connected with the direct will of God. And to this, I would like to read the word from the Gospel of John, from the mouth of our Lord. Gospel of John, chapter 4. Here it says, from verse 27, that the Lord and His disciples needed something to eat. And from verse 32 we read, John 4, 32, but He said unto them, I have food to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? And then comes the answer, Jesus saith unto them, my food is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. And to finish His work. The preaching of the true word, the spiritual food, is connected with the finishing of what God wants to do. And it concerns the harvest. Here it goes on, from verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So, we don't have to wait until the harvest comes worldwide at the end. But in the 2,000 years, the word was sown. People have become believers. And there was fruit in all of the time. And then we read in verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And then we read in verse 37 and 38, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. He, the sower of the good seed, according to Matthew 13, and in particular, verse 37 and 38, the good seed of the word, which was sown, has come up, and the fruit which came up are the true children of God who have received the divine seed in them. And if we read to it James chapter 1, verse 18, here it becomes very clear. It is spoken out clearly. Born again by the everlasting seed of the Word of God. James 1, verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, being begotten, being born of God, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So, the same word which God left to us, we have received. And the word is the divine substance. And the Lord has given new life by his Spirit. He could work it in us by his Spirit. And he has given us the direct access to everything what God prepared for us. If we then read in 1 Timothy, in chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, here we have the description of what will happen at the end of days. And therefore, we should not marvel too much. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Everything what does not come from God, from whom is it coming then? From whom? And God has given us his word, and we are remaining in this word until we come from believing unto seeing. Demons and devils will always bring forth new kinds of doctrines. People are misled, but all who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are abiding in the word of truth, and they are sanctified therein. And therefore Paul says, addressed to Timothy, his co-worker, in the same chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which thou hast taken for your measuring line. Before you are preaching it, you are taking the words. You are taking the words of faith as your food, the word of God. You are making for your food the word of God. The word which was entrusted to you, you may pass on. And then it says in verse 16, in the same chapter, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And this has to just take place in this very serious time in which we have arrived. It would be very much necessary that we would read how often our Lord said, be not deceived, take heed unto thyself. whether in Matthew 24, whether in Mark 13, whether Luke 21, take heed that nobody deceiveth you. And then comes Matthew 24, verse 24. If it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Thanks be to God that it is not possible. The elect are ordained for the truth. All the others, they are ordained for error. And why? Because they turned their back to the truth. And so we thank God that He has kept us in the faith of the Word of God. Let us go to some scriptures in the Old Testament to see what God promised for Israel and what He promised for the church, to know of what we have to wait for, of what we have to pay attention to. In the prophet Zephaniah, we read a wonderful word, Zephaniah, chapter 3, from verse 14. Zephaniah 3, verse 14. Oh, that's a different chapter in the English Bible. Habakkuk, yeah. Zephaniah chapter. Oh, I've got Zechariah. Oh, shame, I've got Zechariah. Zephaniah 3, verse 14. Zephaniah 3, verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. And now comes the reason of the joy. Verse 15. The Lord has taken away thy judgments. He has cast out thine enemy, the King of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. So, gathering, the gathering of the people of Israel at the end of days, until it is being fulfilled that the Lord walks in the midst, will reign on Mount Zion in the midst of his people. Let us read verse 16 and 17. He says, it says, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. This will be something wonderful. Before this happens, and you know, you notice here it speaks of Mount Zion. And in Revelation 14, the Lamb with 104,000 is being shown on Mount Zion. After their calling out, we see them on Mount Zion. Now here, verse 20 in Zephaniah chapter 3. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all peoples of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. We are waiting that the Lord turns around our... I just repeat what I said yesterday. I wished that by the proclamation we can join you together with God, so that the presence of God would come down and that the Lord would manifest himself in our midst. And now we are coming to the mighty text from Haggai, chapter 2. In reference to the promise which God has given to Israel. And then we go straight to Hebrews 12 to see where we are placed by God. Haggai, chapter 2. Please receive this word now. Verse 5. The promise. According to the word, what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Regardless of all the time period of the disobedience of their own ways, regardless of it, everything will be forgotten at the time. In that moment where God is gathering his people, bringing them back to where he revealed himself at the beginning and where he will reveal himself at the end, here it says, the promise, the word which I gave you when ye came out of Egypt. The promise which God has given at the beginning remains until the end. And God will do what he promised. The important thing is that it can be fulfilled. My spirit reigneth in your midst. May the Spirit of God fall in our midst. May he reign so that we are all overwhelmed of the supernatural presence of our God. Then, verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Let us go with this to Hebrews chapter 12. Here, the man of God lined it out and compared the church with Mount Zion. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Perhaps we read just quickly verses 12 to 14. And then we go over to what we just read now. The word of admonition addressed to all of us. Hebrews 12, verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Also you, dear brother, who you have troubles, who you have problems and troubles. And if we would ask today, who has no trouble? Who has no problems? Who has no difficulties? The enemy makes our lives as miserable as possible. And then we are looking up to the Lord. And we know all those who love God, all things serve for the best for them who love God. And they are bringing us closer to the Lord. And then it says here as an admonition in verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet. Here we remember the word of the Lord. All the high things shall be lowered, and all the lower things shall be exalted, so that a way is made which can be walked to the Lord. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Here we have a serious word. Please listen to it. Please listen to this word now. It is absolutely necessary that all the sheep remain in the flock. It is absolutely necessary that all the sheep remain in the flock. And you notice it in nature. If there's some kind of flock, be it in Africa, if a flock was filmed there, on which were the lions concentrating? On the weak ones, on the lame ones, not on the flock, which were close together, but the individuals, the several, which were left behind somewhere. To them, the lions were running after them. Don't be back, don't be left back. And when the moment comes, where you are put before decisions, please look to the Lord. And if you became lame, the Lord can heal the lame. But remain in the flock. Remain in the flock. This is very important. It's even written. Don't leave your meetings. Don't leave your gatherings. What has unbelieving to do with believers? What has the light to do with darkness? What has Christ to do with Belial? So, remain in the word of truth. And if it, at the moment it doesn't look as we would like it, remain in the Lord, abide in the grace and abide in the word, and He will make a way. Let us come now to verse 22.
Das neue Jerusalem mit dem Berge Zion verglichen,
where the church is being compared with Mount Zion. And why? Because the word of the Lord went forth from Mount Zion and the teaching from Jerusalem. That's how it is written in Isaiah chapter 2 and also in Micah 4. Here we have the word Hebrews 12, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Here it doesn't speak of a denomination, not of a certain church, but it speaks of the church of the firstborn, which received the birthright. He, the Redeemer, the firstborn among many brethren, and all the redeemed sons and daughters of God, they have received the birthright. We were born again unto a living hope, and we have been brought back to what went forth from Jerusalem. The word of the Lord went forth from Jerusalem, and the teaching from Mount Zion. And now it says here, ye who are now making up the church of the Lord, ye have come unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. If we would go to Revelation 21, come, I will show you the bride of the Lamb. And he saw as the new Jerusalem was descending. Brothers and sisters, as God has chosen Jerusalem for his people Israel, so he has chosen the new Jerusalem for his bride. And he has gone forth to prepare the place for us. Here it's written in Revelation 21, verse 2. Revelation 21, verse 2. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Brothers and sisters, we have received a very high calling, and we take the proclamation of the word seriously, because the time of grace is coming to its end, and we are counting with the return of Jesus Christ, which can happen at any time. Let us read the scripture which refers to Haggai, which we read already in the Old Testament, namely verse 26 in Hebrews chapter 12, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So, the word from the Old, we find it confirmed in the New Testament. And here we read then in verse 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh to you. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh to you. This should be written in our hearts. That should be engraved in our hearts. See, take heed. For the Lord speaks today for the last time. I believe it's the last message which the Lord has given to all of mankind, and especially to the elect, now at this time, so that all who have an ear to hear, that they pay attention to it. As written here, see that ye refuse not him who speaketh to you. Not a prophet, not a preacher, but the Lord speaks through his word to all of us. And then we are again at the point, we have to succeed. I have to succeed. We have to succeed to get the connection from God to us, and the connection from us to God, to establish it. The reconciliation has happened. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 17. Be ye reconciled with God. God was in Christ and has reconciled the world with himself. And in Christ's stead, we beg you, be ye reconciled with God. The reconciliation has taken place. We are in peace with God. We found peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And therefore, we receive it by grace as a gift from God. And we say thank you to the Lord our God with all our hearts. I hope that we all understood this. And I think in this connection, I think in the connection of the giving out of the food, I also remember this one experience. Although many of you heard it already many times, but for me, these direct experiences, which are in connection with the ministry, they have a very special significance for me. With you it may be different, but as we read, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh to you. And God really, time and again, he spoke through the lips of men, and he has revealed his word. Please permit me that I say this here today, because I have a direct part in the spreading of the message in Jeffersonville. I don't want to go into details, but on the 12th and 13th of April 1966, if I would not have called the brethren together and would not have told them that the sermons of Brother Branham have to be printed now, because they have to be translated into different languages, then no man on the earth would have heard of the message at all. At the end of the 60s, we then had in Edmonton, Canada, we opened an office, because the looking after from Jeffersonville was not in the way as we would have wished it to be. And then there were two offices. The one office in Canada, Donnie Bablitz was leading it, and some people helped him. And then, from 1969 on, I passed on these two addresses all over the earth. I passed them on. And they could order the sermons of Brother Branham in Jeffersonville and in Edmonton. And now the following happened. I looked it up in my calendar. I have two remarks there. One from 1974 and one from 1975. And I have to say honestly, it's not exactly clear which kind of date it was, but in any case, something happened. It happened on a Saturday morning, it happened, that this brother, Donnie Bablitz, I was on a visit on the Avenue 137, on a visit, and this brother who was leading the office, he came on that Saturday morning to me, and in this conversation, he was so overwhelmed. What kind of many brothers have written all over the earth? And his question was, please excuse me that I say this here. His question was, Brother Frank, the ministry of Brother Branham is in the Bible. How is it with your ministry? Is it also testified in the Holy Scripture? And do you know what I did? I stopped him. And I said, beloved brother, stop it. Stop with these thoughts. I'm just somebody who is passing on what I received from the Lord. And I even added, how could my ministry be written in the Bible? I said, yes. We stopped the conversation. And right on the next morning, when I told this brother on the Saturday, I told him, stop with it. How can my ministry be in the Bible? And right on the next morning, I was already dressed. The sun went up already. The sun was shining into my room. I just was reaching to my Bible. And as you are hearing my voice now, my servant, I have called you according to Matthew 24, verse 45 to 47, to give out the food. I just have to say it this way, as it happened at that time. And since then, our brothers were strengthened, and they know that we're not just doing something, but in the divine commission, we are giving out the revealed word, the spiritual food, in connection with the will of God. In this time, we are connected, passing on to the people of God with the wish that the Lord comes to His right with all of us by His grace. Also, this day today shall serve for the purpose that we are strengthened in the faith, that we just know we are living in the time where promises are being fulfilled. We are living in the time where we are taking part in what God is doing right now. Let us say it in closing. If with Brother Branham would have come everything to its end, then the Lord should have surely come. Because what shall this time, all the time which had spent, God knew everything beforehand. And we are making use of this time to carry the last message unto the ends of the earth. May the Spirit of God move in our midst. May all be given revelation by the Holy Spirit. And I can assure you, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, not interpretations we followed, but for the revealed word of God for this time, we have followed. And all who are of God, they will hear the voice of God. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm grateful that He has counted us worthy to live in this time and to recognize the message and the day and to have part in what God is doing right now on the earth. Let us see that we don't refuse Him who speaks to us through His Word and who reveals it unto us by His Holy Spirit, by grace. To Him, the Almighty God, be the praise and honor, praise, honor and glory and adoration forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us sing the chorus, "Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face." Do you all want to be ready? Amen. Do you all believe the divine message? The Lord God bless you. May He bless us all. May He have His way with all of us. Also now, we will pray together and for one another. And we will believe according to the word of the Lord, as written in Mark chapter 11, where our Lord said, if you pray, then believe. And if you then speak to the mountain, be thou moved into the sea, and if you don't doubt, then it shall be done for you.
Möge heute Glaube in uns geweckt worden sein.
May the faith be worked in us today. Brothers and sisters, we are not a denomination. We are the body of the Lord, the church of the living God, the bride of the Lamb. And therefore the Lord speaketh in such clear words with us. Not anymore in parables. This he is doing to the multitudes. And to his own he says, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And also today, he is opening our understanding for the scripture. And if this happened with you today, say amen. We can openly say, the Lord revealed himself to us, not only to the disciples on the way to Emmaus, not only to the 11, not only to the 500, according to 1 Corinthians 15. He has revealed himself to us. He spoke to us. Also we have said, Lord, abide with us, for it is evening time. Also we understood what is written. At midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And now we may belong to those who have heard the last call, who have come out from all the traditions we came out, from all the strange doctrines, from all the interpretations. And on this day, I want to say publicly, in the body of the Lord, only God's holy word may be, and not a single interpretation may be found there. The church of the Lord is a pure word bride, born of the word seed by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, may the Holy Spirit overshadow us. And as we read, my spirit reigneth in your midst. Oh, let us have this longing in us that we cannot stand it any longer, but that we just say, dear Lord, let it happen by your grace. Now, we want to pray. But nevertheless, I ask once again, do we have brothers and sisters or friends in our midst who have not yet made their decision, or those who have to make a decision which is important in their lives and who are coming before God and who say, Lord, what is thy will that I do? What is in thy will, O Lord? So that we are ready on our inside to do the will of God by any price. If we have such brothers and sisters in our midst, then just raise your hand. There are some. And now we will pray together so that the will of God may be done in all our lives by His grace. Faithful Lord, we have heard the word from your lips. My food is that I do the will of him who sent me. Dear Lord, and now we may bring your revealed word to your people, giving out the spiritual food so that your bride is being led into your will, because only in the will of God we are sanctified. That's how it is written in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Dear Lord, may nobody be here who refuses your voice. May nobody be here who needs time to think about it. But today, if you hear your voice, that we respond to it, and that we thank you that you are speaking with us. And today, we want to say thanks to you that you have opened unto us the understanding for the Scripture, and that we understood your speaking. Precious Lord, as you will have your pleasure on Israel when you will reign on Mount Zion, so let your church come back to Mount Zion, to the word which went forth from Jerusalem. O God, have thine own way, so that your pleasure may rest on all of us by your grace. To you, the Almighty God, we say thanks for the fullness of your wonderful and holy word. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Receive the answer by grace and be blessed in the will of God, which the Lord has laid into your heart. Lord Almighty God, once again we thank you for the great privilege that we may live now, and that we may pass on your word unfalsified. Dear Lord and God, you alone are true, and every man is a liar. Your word is true, and it is written in the first epistle of John, in chapter 5, in verse 20, and we are in the true one, in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he is the true God and eternal life. Hallelujah!
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 Oh God, it is finished. We thank you for the redemption through your blood. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads us into all the truth. Dear Lord, may all the world, may your people all over the earth have part in, whether they are here, or whether in New Zealand, Australia, or in Africa, or on the North American continent, or in South America, or Central America, in all of the East, and all over, in the all of the West, in all of Europe, and on all continents. May it happen that your word is proclaimed for the testimony of some and for the calling out for the others. Oh, Lord God of heaven, how wonderful is your word. Blessed and praised are you, our Lord and God, in the name of Jesus Christ, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, Amen.
Amen. Und nochmals, Amen.